Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Ayin Tes. We are holding on Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis. We are at the two dots at the bottom of Ayin Ches Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, an honorable wife and children, Adeline, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha Shalom. There's the Yosef Eliyahu Ben Chaya. Is that somehow that came through separately? I'm not sure. Also by Dr. Yosef Gervich in honor of his wife and children. Also by the Biedenfeld family for Refuah Shalema for their father, Dr. J. Biedenfeld, Yoshua David Ben Frumit, who will be undergoing a kidney transplant today. And the donor, Yosef Eliyahu Ben Chayaleya, for Refuah Shalema. He should have Refuah Shalema B'soch Shar Chol Yisrael. It should go well. And also in memory of Yitzchak Ben Shmuel Chaim, and Shama Shav and Aliyah. Was I missing one at the... Four, okay. I don't know why it came out funny. Okay, we thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. And today what we're going to discuss is the Gemara is going to talk about what happens if a woman wants to make sure that her nechassim don't go to her husband. Is there a way that she can make it that the nechassim will avoid her husband? And that will take, that's a discussion of Shtar Mevrachas and Shtar Pasim. That will take us to the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah is going to discuss how do we make sure that there's always going to be pay Peros and Keren, meaning the halacha by Nichsei Milug is that the Baal keeps the Keren, that the Baal gets the Peros and the Isha keeps the Keren. What about Nechassim that don't easily lend themselves to having Peros and Keren? So what do we do in order to make sure that there are Peros and Keren? And often times what that means is we're going to have to sell it and buy something that instead has Peros and Keren. But then that's going to lead into a discussion of what items should we not sell, because there are certain things that have sentimental value or have value in a certain family, and we can't just get rid of it and sell it to have something that lends itself more to Peros and to Keren. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll get to all that. So now let's begin. Three lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Ayin Chesam Beis. So once we learn that the way the husband gets the Nichsei Malug, once we learn that the husband gets the Nichsei Malug of his wife or the Peros Nichsei Malug of his wife, so the Gemara is going to talk about how does she make sure he doesn't get it. There was a woman, the Bayad the Tavrchinu, she wanted to make sure that her husband didn't get the Nichsei Malug. She wanted to make sure that it stayed with her. So she figured she would write it a shtar that now belongs to her daughter, a daughter that she had from a different marriage. And that way, she wasn't really giving it to the daughter. She just wanted to make sure that the husband wouldn't have rights to it, so she can reasonably claim it's not mine. I can't give it to you. And then if she becomes an almana or a grusha, she'll go and she'll get those nechassim right back from the daughter. And sure enough, in Siva, and I guess not surprising considering the igrusha, she ended up getting divorced. So once the marriage ended, she was ready to take her nechassim back. So I saw the kamei de Rav Nachman. They came in front of Rav Nachman. The woman came in front of Rav Nachman, and she was toveya, the daughter. She wanted the nechassim back from the daughter, and Rav Nachman accepted her taina because she never really meant it to give it to her daughter as a real matana. She was just trying to keep it away from the husband. So Kari Rav Nachman, the shtar Rav Nachman, tore up the shtar. Also Rav Anan came to Marukva. So Rav Anan went to Marukva, who was the Av Beis Din, to complain about Rav Nachman. Amarle, Chazi Mar Nachman Chakla'a. Look at what Nachman did over here. He's not a Bucky and Dinim. How could he do that? He takes a shtar and he just tears up the shtar. Heichim kar shtari dinshi. How can you go around tearing up shtaros that people have? Shtaros are a very valuable form of a raya, and he's just tearing it up. So Amalei, so Marukva said to Rav Anan, Emili Ezi Gufat of the Hecheava. No, Rav Nachman knows how to learn. You got to tell me what happened. Rav Nachman's not just going around tearing up shtaros. So Amalei, so Rav Anan said to Marukva, Hachi v'hachi hava. This story was as follows. There was this woman, she wanted to be Mavriach the Nechassim from her husband, and therefore she gave it to the daughter, and she got married and divorced, the whole story. So Amalei, so Marukva said to Rav Anan, Shtar Mavrachas, Kamrit, you're talking about a Shtar Mavrachas. She never intended to give those Nechassim really to her daughter. She was just trying to be mavriach those nechassim from her husband. That's not a valid shtar. Hachi am Rabbi Chanilai Baridi, Amar Shmuel, Mora Hora'a Ani. Rabbi Chanilai Baridi said in the name of Shmuel, I am a Mora Hora'a. I have a Rishus from the Reish Galusa to be a Dayan, and only people who are Bekim Bedinim would receive such Rishus from the Reish Galusa. And Vim Yavosh Shtar Mevrachas Liadi, and as a Mora Hora'a, I could tell you that if I were to receive a shtar mevrachas, a karenu, I would tear it right up, because someone who gives a shtar mevrachas is not really giving the nechasim as a matana. He's just trying to be mevriach the nechasim, and therefore the shtar is totally batal mevutal. And Rav Nachman did the right thing by tearing up the shtar mevrachas. So there is a machlokas rishonim what the woman's kavana was. According to the Rush, the kavana was to be makna the nechasim to the makabel, but that she should always be able to be chozer kol zman shetirza, and to reacquire those nechasim or to sell them to someone else. And if she became niskarsha and nisalmana, so we assume that she wanted to go back from that matana, even though she didn't say so beferush. And if she dies when she's a nesua, the nechasim will stay by the makabel. Meaning, if it's really a mevrachas, what was the plan for what happens if she doesn't get divorced, or if she doesn't, if the husband doesn't predecease her? What happens if she predeceases the husband? So that's what the Rush and some of the other Rishonim suggest. No, it really is a matana. It's just a temporary matana. It's a matana with the rights to back out on the matana. Because according to the Rambam, the payrolls belong to the woman the entire time. And if she dies, b'chayi baila, the makabla matana is going to be zochah in the nechasim. And the Pnei Yeshua writes that according to Rashi, the makabla is not zochah in the payrolls. The yorshei isha are yoresh to the nechasim. So whoever she chose to be the one to receive, the shtar mevrachas does not really get the upper hand. The whole thing is just a ruse in order to keep it away from the husband. So exactly what the mechanics of the mevrachas are subject to machlokas. But this is But certainly it's a valid way to keep it away from the husband. So Amalei Rava Rav Nachman. So Rava said to Rav Nachman, who's the one that tore up a shtar matana that was a shtar mevrachas, how could you do a maisa like that to be to korea shtar relying on Shmuel? Time am I? What's the basis for Shmuel who said that a shtar mevrachas is batal? Remember, it was Rabbi Chinilai Baridi Amar Shmuel who said that you could tear up a shtar mevrachas. So you're relying on Shmuel to Shmuel based on the Lo Shavik Nishnafshe via Vlachrini. Shmuel is based on the Chazaka and Umduna that a person wouldn't forego something to give it to somebody else. And why is he giving it? It must be that he's just trying to be Mavriach the Nechasim from a third party, because it makes no sense to just stam give all of his property to somebody else. Yeah, but Hanibi Lachrini, Shmuel makes sense when you're giving it to an outsider. Avalabarti Yehiva, but a woman writes her Nechasim to her daughter, that we have the right to assume that's a Matana Gemura, that's something that she really wants to do. Why wouldn't it? I mean, people give gifts to their children all the time. So Rav Nachman responded, no, Afilu Hachi, even though that may be true, that generally speaking, people would give things to their daughter, B'makom Barta Nafsha Adifala. When the other option is herself, they prefer themselves over their daughters. So she's not really giving the Nechasim to the daughter, and that's why I am able to learn from Shmuel to do such a mice of tearing up a Shtar Mevrachas. So now the Gemara brings a brisa to ask on Shmuel. Shmuel had said that a shtar mevrachas is batel because we assume that the person doesn't really mean to give it as a matana. So basically, the Gemara challenges harotza shetavriach nichsa mi baila, a woman who wants to make sure that the nechasim don't go to her husband, that he shouldn't have any rights in her nechasim when they get married. Kate adiosa. So what can she do in order to keep it away from her husband? Kosev shtar pasim laacherim. She writes a shtar pasim that is mefayis, that appeases the makabel, that he's not getting the shtar to actually be zocha in the nechasim, just to be mafkia the zuchus of the husband, that the husband shouldn't have any zuchus. Divrei Rav Moshe ben Gamliel, that's Rav Moshe ben Gamliel's shita. V'chachamim amrin l'cham seif, he writes such a shtar pasim, so then ratza, if the makabel wants to actually be zocha in the nechasim, even though he promised he wouldn't, and he can go be zocha in those nechasim, because it is a real shtar, and she can't just be mavriach the nechasim. You don't play around with shtaros. You're writing a shtar. You have to live by that shtar. Adchi tichtov lo mehayom ulksheerza. Unless it says that the shtar is written al tanai mehayom ulksheerza, that if the woman wants to be zocha the nechasim, that she just wrote to this other party, so she could be zocha in the nechasim. He'll be zocha in the nechasim mehayom, and therefore the mekabel is not going to be able to be zocha in the nechasim until the tanai is fulfilled, and you can't mess around. And the mekabel can't can't take it and keep it for themselves. So that will effectively be mavriach the nechasim from the husband, that if the husband wants to be zochen them, she could say that she wants to be mekayim the matana that she gave. But you need to have that option. It has to be a matana al tanai. So if the husband says, well, I'm going to take them, then she could say, okay, well, then I'm going to fulfill the tanai, and it will be a real matana. So says the Gemara, what do you see from here within the shita of the chachamim? Taima de kasu lehachi. The reason the shtar mevrachas, the reason that it's a really shtar mevrachas and the makabel, it doesn't receive the nechasim, is only because she wrote such a tanai in the shtar. Halo kasu lehachi. But if you don't write that explicitly, then kanin alokeach. Then lokeach actually is kona, and there's no umdana that you can make and say, oh, no one's actually giving their stuff away, and he doesn't really mean it. She doesn't really mean it. No, the shtar is kayam if you write a regular shtar. So that's a kasha on Shmuel, who said that the shtar is going to be batal because it's an umdana that we assume no one would ever want to give their stuff away. So that's the Gemara's challenge to Shmuel. So Rabbi Zeira lo kasha. Rabbi Zeira says, no, it's not a challenge to Shmuel. Ha bekula. Shmuel, who says that we follow the umdana, is when she gives all of her nechasim. So then you could reasonably assume no normal person is giving all of their nechasim away to somebody else. And ha bimuksasa, the brisa that says that the shtar is kayam, unless there's a tanai where that you can utilize to make it not kayam. So that's talking about where some of the nechasim are being given away. So then we don't have an umdana that it wasn't intended as an matana gemura, and therefore we're not mevatel the shtar. So now the Gemara asks Viter on Shmuel, that a shtar where you write kol nechasim, that we accept that answer, kol nechasim, that's a shtar mevrachas, and you could tear up such a shtar. But v'ilo kanini lokayach, if the shtar is in fact batel when she gives kol nechasim, so then the lokech is not kona the nechasim. Why does the shtar work to keep the nechasim away from the husband? Meaning kaninu baal. If the lokech isn't the owner of it, then the baal should be the owner of it. Meaning if the shtar is worthless, so then it didn't do anything. Then the husband should be the rightful owner of these nechasim. So Amar Abaye asa'um k'nechasim she'in yadu'un lebaal v'alibid Rabbi Shimon. No, the chachamim treat these nechasim like nechasim she'in yadu'un lebaal. Remember, we learned yesterday that the Mishnah said that nechasim she'in yadu'un lebaal he doesn't have rights to if he doesn't know about that. So the baal, according to Rabbi Shimon, the baal is not zocha in nechasim that he doesn't know about. This is where we should learn from here that mevrachas is only by an isha that's mavricha mibayla, because the whole mechanism that's utilized in order to make the mevrachas work is this concept of nechasim shein yadu in the baal, which only applies to a husband-wife relationship. But a person who stam wants to be mavriach is nechasim that it shouldn't be meshubah to a baal chov, right? I'm about to borrow a lot of money, and I don't. And a great time to borrow money now, a couple of days before Shemitah. So I want to borrow a lot of money, but I don't want there to be a shibud on my nechasim. So I'll write all my nechasim to somebody else. I'll do a mevrachas in that way. So no, that's not going to work because there is no such din of nechasim shein yaduin when it comes to a baal chov. That only applies to an isha. So this whole concept of mevrachas is only going to work by an isha. So that's the mechanism that's in place. Okay. So now next mishnah. So once we know that the husband is zocha and the peros nichse melug of his wife, but not in the chasim themselves, he only gets the peros. So the mishnah discusses like what do we consider peros and what do we consider the nechasim? Nafla ksafim. Let's say the woman gets the yerusha of actual money. So he's only entitled to the peros of that money, but money doesn't produce peros. So what do? Yelakech ben karkav uach peros. Buy real estate, buy karka, and he'll eat the peros that come from that karka. If a peros atul shem in a karka, if she receives a yerusha of just a basket of fruits, so you lakach ben karka, sell those peros and buy karka, vuach al peros, and he will eat the peros of that karka. Peros am chubarim lekarka. If she receives a yerusha of peros that are still attached to the ground, she's a trees laden with peros. Some Rameir says the peros that grow in her rishos are shayach to her, and therefore they have a din of nechse melug and not a din of peros that are shayach to the husband. So in order to know what the value of those peros are, meaning the peros that are already on the tree don't have a din of peros, Because whatever property she gets, whatever perils it produces now is going to belong to the husband. She received trees laden with perils. So the perils that are already on the trees at the time that she gets them don't have a din of perils. That's the Karen. That's what she received. So what do you do? So Shamin Osa Kami Hiyafa Biperos, Kami Hiyafa below Peros. We have to evaluate how much is the karka worth with the Peros, how much is the karka worth without the Peros, and look at the difference, Umosar, and the difference between those two evaluations has the din of Nichse Malug. So what do? You lokach ben karka. Use that amount of money to buy karka, Vuhu Ochel Peros, and he'll eat the Peros of that karka. Karka. Those perils that are attached to the ground do not have the din of the actual keren of the nechsim lug. They have the din of the perils nechsim lug, and therefore shalom, they belong to him. Vatzlushim karka, but perils that have already been picked, that are already detached from the ground, shalom, that has the din of nechsim lug, and therefore that would have to be yilakim ben karka vuachal perils. With that, you would with the perils vatzlushim in karka, would you buy karka, and he would eat the perils. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Malka Moshiyafa Kocha Beknisasa. Rabbi Shimon says, in a situation where the husband has the upper hand at the time that she received the nechasim, so at the time of their divorce, he has the lower hand. And the reverse is opposite as well, is true as well. So what does that mean? Ketzad, perus hamechubarim lekarka, when you're dealing with perus that are attached to the ground, biknisasa, when the relationship starts, he has the upper hand, shalom, because it belongs to him, because they're considered to be the perus nechsei malug of ubiyitziyasa, and those perus that are attached to the ground at the time of their divorce, he has the lower hand, shalom, that belongs to her entirely, he has no zuchus in them whatsoever. V'tulushin min hakarka, and any perus that are detached from the ground, biknisasa, when they get married, shalom, they belong to her, they have a din of nechsei malug, that the baal is only ochel the perus from them, ubiyitziyasa. And parents of the Talish Menakarka, when they get divorced, the Shalom, they're going to be his entirely, because he's Zocha in those peros of the Nechsei Malug when they were still married. And that's considered to be peros that were produced when they were still married, so therefore he gets to keep those peros entirely. So that's how Rabbi Shimon understands the difference between peros of Mechubarim Lekarka and peros that are Tzulushim Menakarka. Now the Mishnah said that Nechsei Malug that doesn't naturally produce its own payrolls, you have to sell by karka, and that way you'll be able to have keren and payrolls. So pshita ara ubati, if you have one of the couple wants to use the money, she got money as nichse malug. So again, you can't leave it as money because money doesn't have keren and payrolls, and they have an option, two things to invest in. They can either buy land to plant, or they can buy bati, they can buy houses to rent. That also produces payrolls. The rental payments are payrolls. So the halacha is ara. They should buy land because you get more money from land that's constantly producing. Bati vidikli, if the only options are they can either buy houses and the other, but they disagree. One of them wants to buy houses and the other one wants to buy dekel trees. So the halacha is bati. They should buy houses because you get more money. It's a better investment to buy houses than it is to buy dekelim. And if one of they disagree about what to buy, one of them wants to buy dikli and the other one ilani, the other one wants to buy other types of trees. Dikli, because there are more perils from a dekel tree than there are from other types of fruit trees. When one of them wants to buy ilani and the other one wants to buy gufni, the other one wants to buy gefunden, they want to buy a winery or something, so ilani. So you buy ilanos because the gefunden are very hard to maintain. They could easily get ruined and you won't have much perils from the gefunden. So even though gefunden do have the, that's what Tosos explains, it could be a very lucrative business, but it's a high risk business to be in the winery business. So while it's true that if you own a bunch of apple trees or mango trees or something like that, so you're not going to make that much money, but it's steady and it's reliable. But when you have gefanim, it's much less reliable, even though it's lucrative. So we have to go with that which is a safer investment, that which is more likely to actually produce peros. So if she gets in Yerusha Abba Zeradita, a forest of trees of Zeradita, which don't have a chashva pri, they cut them down usually to use for firewood, upira de kavri, or place where they a fish pond. Sa'amila pira. Some say the ilanos and the dagim are like the peros of the nechse malug. The karka that the ilanos are on, or the ground that the pond is in, that's the keren. But the actual trees and the actual fish belong to the husband because they are the peros. Va'amila karna. And some say no, the ilanos and the fish, those are the keren. That's not the peros, because those the definition of keren is something that's always there. But there's only a finite amount of fish. You eat the fish and then they're gone. So since it's a davar hakala, it's something that can get used up at a certain point in time. Therefore, it has a din of it should have a din of peros if it gets used up. But so that's the discussion, whether it's peros or whether it's considered to be keren. And if it has, and nafkamina is, do you sell it and then buy karka so that you can get peros? So klala de milsa, the rule is as follows: gizo machlif. If after it gets used up, it grows back, pira, then that's peros, meaning peros get used up, but then they grow right back. So anything that's gizo machlif, that when you use it up, right, that's what it is. Anything that you use it up and it grows back, that's going to be peros. Ein gizo machlif karna. But something that if you use it up, it's gone. If somebody were to destroy the ground doesn't come back, so that's the definition of keren. So therefore, this abba zardasa and this pira de kavri, since they're not gizo machlif, if you were to cut down the tree does not grow right back. And if you were to trap all the fish in the pond, there won't be other fish there. So therefore, it has a din of keren. It does not have a din of peros. So that's the svara to say that it's keren, that it's a davar hakala, that it's something that gets used up. Peros don't get used up because when you use them up, they grow right back. So now the Gemara discusses which peros nechse melug belong to the husband and which to the wife. Amar Rabbi Zeru, Amar Rabbi Oshaya, Amar Rabbi Yannai, Va'amrila. And some say that it wasn't Rabbi Zeru who said this, but it was Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Oshaya, Amar Rabbi Yannai. Hagone Vlad Behemas Melug. If someone steals a Vlad Behemas Melug, the offspring of a Behemas Melug, that the woman got a Behema, Be'erusha as nechse melug, and then that Behema gave birth, so when we find the Ganav, Mishalim Tashlumi Kefa. He pays kefel to the woman. The Gemara assumes Rabbi Yani means to say that the peros nechse melug do belong to the husband, but the vlad behemos melug is considered like keren and not considered like peros, because if the mother dies, there's not going to be any keren left for the wife, for the woman. So therefore, in order that the woman shouldn't lose out, we treat the vlad like keren and use the value of that vlad to buy karka, and from that the husband eats the peros. So the woman is the one who has the rights to the kefil payments. So I asked the Gemara on Rabbi Yannai, a vlad behemas melug belongs to the woman. Kiman, who are you assuming like when you say that a vlad behemas melug belongs entirely to the woman? Lo k'rabbanan v'lo k'chananya. We know of two opinions in Tanaim. Rabbanan and Chananya are going like neither one of them. Titanya, where do we see these two opinions in Tanaim? The Brisa tells us vlad behemas melug lebal, the vlad of the behemas melug goes to the husband. Vlad shivchas melug leisha, the vlad of a shivchas melug, of a shivcha, the eved will go to the isha. V'chanani ben Achiyoshia Amar, and Chananya says, asu vlad shivchas melug kivlad behemas melug, that even the vlad shivchas melug should go to the baal, because we're not choshesh that the mother is going to die and that the woman is going to be left with nothing. But both the Chacham and Chananya agree when it comes to the vlad behemas melug that goes to the baal. So that's a kasha on Rabbi Yana, who said that it goes to the isha. So it says, well, no, afilu tema divrei kol. Rabbi Yannai could be in agreement with all of the Tanaim. He holds the vlad behemas melug goes to the husband, and he agrees to what the Tanaim said, that it goes to the husband. Why then, if it gets stolen, does the woman get the kefel payment? Because peira takinu le'rabbanan, peira de peira lo takinu le'rabbanan. The Rabbanan were masakin that the husband gets peiros of nechse melug, like the vlad of nechse melug. But the kefel payment does not have a din of peiros, it has a din of peiros, meaning the tashlumi kefel, which are peros of the vlad, and the vlad himself is the peros nechse melug. So while the husband gets the vlad, that's the peros. But the peros of the peros, that goes to the woman. The rabbanim were not masakin that the husband gets that. So the Gemara explains what the basis for the Chacham and Chananya in the Brisa are. Once we quote this Brisa, where we said that a Vlad Behemas Muluk is Labal, and there's a machlokas about a Vlad Shivchas Muluk, so we need to explain them. So Bishta Mul Chananya, I understand the sheet of Chananya, Hainu Delo Cheshinan Lemisa. That's why we're not Choshish Shemisa, and therefore the Vlad of the Behemas Muluk and the Vlad of the Shivchas Muluk both belong to the husband, because you don't have to be Choshish that the woman is going to be left empty handed. El Rabbanan, but according El Rabbanan, but what is the basis of the sheet of the Rabbanan to distinguish between the Vlad Shivcha and the Vlad Behema? If you're choshish for death, then the husband shouldn't get the Vlad Behemas Muluk either. If you're choshish for death, you have to make sure that the woman is going to be left with something. So the Vlad of both the Shivcha and the Behema should go to the woman. And if you're not worried about death, then Vlad Shivchas Muluk Nami, then even the Vlad Shivchas Muluk should also go to the husband, because we're not choshish l'misa, we're not choshish for the misa of the mother. So it says, the Olam Chayish of the misa. Really, we are choshish l'misa. And therefore, that's why it makes sense that the Vlad Shivchas Muluk goes to the Isha, because we don't want to leave the woman empty-handed. V'shayni behema di'ika ora. The difference by a behema is that even when the behema dies, it doesn't mean that there's no keren anymore. There's still something of value that the woman will have. She won't be left empty-handed, because you still have the hide of the animal. So the keren will still stay with the woman. So when it comes to a Vlad Shivcha, so if the Shivcha herself dies, and you're going to give the Vlad Shivcha to the husband, the woman's going to be left empty-handed. There's nothing she could do with the dead body of the Shivcha. But when it comes to the Vlad behema, so even though the behema Behema might die, you can give the Vlad to the husband, because the dead body of the Behema still has value for the woman. So now the Gemara paskins in this machlokas. Amar Avunu Bar Chia, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Kichananya. We pass on the Chananya that we're not choshish for the Misa of the Nechse Melug, the Vlados belong to the husband. Amar Rav Nachman, Afagav, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Kichananya, even though we say that we pass on the Chananya that the Vlados belong to the husband, Moda Chananya, Shim Nisgarsha, Nosem is Dom Natal. Chananya is moda that if the woman brought in shvachos as nichsei meluk and they had children which now belong to the husband, and then they get divorced, then the husband and wife get divorced, so she can pay the money. She has the right to buy out those avadim from the husband. She can give money to the husband, and the husband is obligated to sell those avadim to her, because this is shvach beis avia, meaning owning a particular family of shvachos is something that her father's family is known by, and that's something that she's allowed to maintain the reputation of her father's family. Now, if a woman brings nechasim that the keren will ultimately get worn out and will not be usable anymore, the husband doesn't get the peros of such nechasim, because again, the key is we always have to leave the woman with something. So how much has to be left in the keren in order to be considered a keren that remains intact? So Amar Rav Nachman, hichnisa lo eiz. If a woman brings in a goat lechalva to eat to drink its milk, which is the peros of the goat, v'racha legizasa, or a sheep for its shearings, v'tarnagolas lebeit sasa, or a chicken to lay eggs, v'dekel leperosa, v'dekel tree for the peros, ochel v'holich ad shetichla keren. So the halacha is the husband could be ochel v'holich until the keren is gone, until the animals that she brought in die, or the dekel tree dries up, and then the woman will be left with the oros of the behema, or the feathers of the chicken, or the wood from the dead tree. That's considered to be keren. That's not considered a keren that gets worn, that gets used up, and therefore the peros takadu belong to the husband, because there will always be keren. Amar Rav Nachman, Aila leglima, if the woman brought in a beged pirahavi, the beged itself, the wearing of the beged is considered peros. Mekasi beva azul, the husband can wear that beged ad dekali until the beged gets worn out, and then the worn out, thinned out garment will belong to the woman, and therefore the din of the beged does not have a din of keren. It has a din of it does not have a din of a keren that gets used up, and once it's used up once, it doesn't grow back, because there will always be something left of it. And as long as there's something left of it, there's something for the woman, even if the husband takes the peros. So it says Gemara Kiman, who is Rav Nachman assuming like when he assumes that such a tiny value that remains is considered to be that the Keren is still intact? So Kiyai Tana is assuming like the following Tana. Titania, because we have a Braisa, if a woman gets a Yerusha that has Hamelach, that has salt, I don't know what they're called, by the edge of the ocean where the water comes in the way and it dehydrates and it leaves salt behind, Vachol, or you have a place where you could take sand that you're able to use to make bricks or to do building with, Hareza Peros. So that is a din of Peros, because the Peros are Mischadesh always, and the Keren is always gonna be there. But if she gets a Zirusha Pir Shal Gafris, a hole where they have Gafris, pitch or tar, Machparis Shal Tsarif, or a place where they dig Tsarif, where they are mine Tsarif, where after you it gets worn out, after it gets used up after a time, Rameir says Keren. That's considered to be Keren, and you have to sell it and buy karka, and that produces peros, and the husband will get the peros of that. But the actual dig itself, the actual area itself, does not have a din of peros, because the Keren does not remain. The Chum say, no, it has a din of peros, that the karka remains, and therefore that's considered that the Keren remains. Rabbi Shimon Omer, okay, so you see, according to the Chachamim, that even though you're left with something that's very, very minor, you're left with something that's worth very, very little, that's still considered that Keren is there. Because of what value is land that's meant to be mined for its minerals worth if once the minerals are all mined and there's nothing left in that land? But no, what's left is land, and that's still something. So you see that Chamol, as long as something is there, that's considered that you still have a Keren intact. Rabbi Shimon Omer Makom Shiyafa Kocha. We then said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Shimon says that whenever it's Yafa Kocha B'Knisasa, it's Hura Kocha B'Yitziyasa. When it's Hura Kocha B'Knisasa, it's Yafa Kocha B'Yitziyasa. And he explained that which is Mechubar L'Karka B'Knisasa belongs to him, B'Yitziyasa to her. That which is Talush Min HaKarka, the reverse. So Rabbi Shimon Hayne Tana Kama says, well, Rabbi Shimon's not adding anything. That's exactly what the Chacham said in the Mishnah, that B'Knisasa, the Peros that are Mechubar L'Karka belong to him, and the Peros that are Talush Min HaKarka belong to her. So in what way is Rabbi Shimon adding anything or disagreeing with the Tana Kama? So Amarava Mechubarin B'Shas Yitziyah Ikabinayu. That which is mechubar to the karka at the time of the yitziyah, that the din of such peros, the Tanakama didn't mention. So that's where there's a chiluk between them. The Tanakama holds that the peros that are mechubar b'shas yitziyah belong to the husband, and Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says that those that are mechubar b'shas yitziyah belong to her. The basis of Rabbi Shimon, why would they belong to her? So the Rosh explains, the Chazal Masakin, that all peros that were nilkatim tachtav belong to him. Any peros that you took from the ground while they were married belonged to him, but dafka if they were picked while they were married. So the Rush brings Rabbeinu Yosef Alevi, who paskens like the Chachamim, because peros and mechubar are shaykh to the one that they were gadlo b'rashuso, the one who they grew while they were in the rashus of that person. So that's the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon. Now a new Mishnah. What's the halach of nichsei melug that don't produce too much peros, and the husband would rather sell these nechasim in order to get nechse melug that produce more peros? So nafla avadim shvachos zakenim. Let's say she gets the woman gets as Yerusha older avadim shvachos, they can't do much anymore. So yimachrivi lakachven karka v'lechol peros. They could sell them whatever a small amount of money they'll get for them, buy karka, and the husband will get the peros of the karka. Shimon Gamliel Omer lo timkor mnei shein shvach beis avia. You can't go selling the avadim and the shvachos of beis avia. That's the glory of her father's house. Nafla zesim gefanim zakenim. If they get zesim and gefanim that are older zesim and gefanim, so they don't produce as much peros, yimachrivi lakachven karka v'lechol peros. Sell them, buy karka, and let the husband get the peros. Rabbi No, don't sell them, because that's also something that her family that is meaningful for her family to be able to keep. Amrav Kana Amrav Machlokas, the whole Machlokas in Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda about selling Zesim and Gefanim that are Zakenim, that's only Shenaflu Besada Shalah. That's only that the karka that they're on also came to the woman Beirusha together with the actual Gefanim. Aval Besada Shena Shalah. But if she receives gefanim that or ilanos that she doesn't own the land that they're on, you know, so and she only has the rights to those trees as long as they live. But once those trees die, she has no rights to the land. Then of course you sell it, because then it's kaliyakarna. The karen is going to dry up, and you're not going to be left with anything. So therefore, there is no shvach beisavia. So ask more maskar of Yosef. Wait a second, avadim shvachos, when they die, there's going to be nothing left. And nevertheless, they still disagree. They still hold that that this is shvach beisavia, and that you can't just sell it and buy karka. Ela I itmar hachi itmar. Amrav kan amrav machlokas b'sad shein shalah. The whole machlokas if the field doesn't belong to her. Avad b'sad shalah divrei hakol lo timkar mnei shvach beisavia. But if the field actually does belong to her, then everyone agrees lo timkar. You can't sell it. You're not allowed to sell it because of the shvach beisavia. Okay, but from tomorrow on Shabbos, we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page. Good Shabbos, everybody.